We will be in John 4, fourth chapter of John, and verses will begin in verse 7, possibly go through verse 12, Lord willing. But continuing our study of our Lord's meeting with the woman at the well, we witness Jesus leaving Judea and thereby removing himself from the deceitful maneuvers of the Pharisees, those wicked Pharisees who are attempting to have a split between the Lord and John the Baptist. For Jesus had many more important things to do as he desired to do his Father's business. You remember how intense he was at age 12. To be about his Father's business, and he knew that his Father's business was to go through the land and to seek and bring salvation to those who were lost. And Jesus, in this passage, is moved by what John calls must needs. Must needs. I must needs go to Samaria, he says. You know, we ought to have must needs in our life. Just like we sang that song this morning, Lord, lead me to a soul that's lost, that I might be a witness for Christ, that I might lead that soul to Christ. And you know, sometimes we pray in such generalities, but we'll learn in this passage here that Jesus Christ is specific. He has an appointment with an individual. He has an appointment with a woman at the well. And sometimes I think we need to pray specifically. What about that person that lives two doors down from you? What about that person at work? What about that relative, that loved one? Do you name that person and say, oh Lord, give me an opportunity to witness for Christ to that particular person? That's a must needs. And you infuse yourself with those must needs to do the work of the Lord. Jesus' must needs were to be at Jacob's well by noon in order to meet a particular woman, a woman of Samaria, and this is a thirsty woman. Now you can think about that in many, many ways. But this was a thirsty woman, and this was a woman who thought her thirst would be satisfied by the water from Jacob's well, but in truth, her thirst went far deeper than that well could supply. You know, we're so easily satisfied by the things of this world, and yet the things of this world will not satisfy our deep needs. And this woman did not understand the deep need she had that was a thirst that would not be satisfied with the water from Jacob's well. So Jesus arrives early for this appointment. Now, listen. This is an interesting little thought. Jesus didn't rush and said, I hope she doesn't get there before I do. No, he arrived early for this appointment. This is a lesson for all of us, by the way, not to be rushed, to plan ahead, to be there early on time, so that these things and these opportunities can be used of God for his will to be carried out. He was weary. He was traveling by foot to Jacob's well, to be there in time, to ask of this woman for a drink. He was bold about this. He came to that well and he says, give me to drink. For we read of this in John 4, 7 and 8, where we are told, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So he's alone at the well. This is a preparation for him to be alone with this woman, no distractions from the disciples also around the well wanting a drink of water. He's there alone. The disciples have gone to town. Now, we all have a daily need for water. You know, I looked it up online, and it says the amount of fluid that you have determined by the Institute of Medicine is for men about 13 cups of total beverages a day. 13 cups. Now that doesn't just say water. Anything that's a fluid, 13 cups, that's 3 liters. You know those 3-liter bottles? And you probably take a lot more fluids than you think. You may not sit there and take 8 cups of water at a time, except Phil. He did that the other day. But you take 13 cups of water, and for women, it's about 9 cups, 2.2 liters of total beverages a day. Now, that's a lot of fluids, but we have a need for water. Our body is composed of mostly water, and we have a need to resupply that water. So we all have a thirst. And we even see here Jesus had a daily need for water. And God gives us the ability to thirst. You know, He gives us in our bodies that desire for thirst so that the body is resupplied with liquids. We thirst and we quickly obey our body and get water. And if we don't obey our body, we will have dehydration, of course. And that's a very, very dangerous condition to be in. So it's very important to resupply your water on a daily basis. So this woman of Samaria comes to the well. She is the woman of the household. She is the one to provide the household with water. She is thirsty. Her clothes needs washing. Her house needs cleaning. All needs supplied by water. A daily need. And she must therefore come to Jacob's well every day for a new supply. Now this particular day is a milestone day in her life, for she does not know that the true well awaits her to satisfy her thirst in a way in which she had never dreamed. The true well will be at Jacob's well that day. For Jesus was at the well first, that from this day she would never thirst again. You know, I think back on the thirst that was quenched over 40 years ago in my heart. And that thirst has never been dissatisfied. It's always been satisfied by our Lord Jesus Christ, and I never thirsted again. But Jesus came to the well to do the thing that he had been sent to do. You know, one thing about Christ, he always carried out the will of the Father. There was never a time when he says, you know, I'm kind of tired of this. I think I'll go and do something else. But no, that wasn't the heart of our Lord. He was always in position to do the will of the Father, coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came to the well and found such a woman that fit that description. You know, folks like this are all around us. They're thirsty souls all around us. Oh, we think that they're satisfied. They have their bottle of water as they travel from place to place. It's just a commonplace thing that you never saw in the past, but now you see everybody with water. What a message that is to Christians, to see thirsty folks as we go through life, sitting next to us on the transportation, in the offices, places like that, caring about their water, which should remind us that they're thirsty souls. Now, Jesus puts the thirst in a soul to come to the well. You know, we do not naturally seek the water of the true well. That thirst in us, we don't conjure up that thirst in us, do we? That just comes natural. God puts it in our body that our body might be satisfied. So God's thirst is put into us by God Himself. In Isaiah 65:1, you'll find, I am found of them that sought me not. I am found of them that sought me not. And in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Scripture tells us the Lord found Moses with the burning bush. He told Zacchaeus to make haste and come down. He blinded Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and he opened up the heart of Lydia as she attended to the things spoken of by Paul. The Bible tells us if we love him, it is only because he loved us first. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You know, there has to be a force to move a dead object. Dead objects don't move on their own. And we're dead in trespasses and sins, and there has to be something to move us, and that movement takes place by God. There has to be a thirst inserted in the soul. Jesus, the true well, came to Jacob's well with that purpose, to insert a thirst in the soul of this woman. So the Father was drawing this woman of Samaria to himself. This is obvious in this situation. The woman knew that her thirst had to be satisfied by coming to a well, but all she knew of wells was at the well of Jacob. You know, thirsty souls in this world seems to be, they only know of the thirst that is satisfied by the water of this world. But God puts in us a thirst for himself. Little did this woman know that this was the day when she would meet the living well out of which she could draw living water. But only because of the Father's drawing her would she come to Jesus. She comes at the sixth hour. That's interesting too. The noon hour. You know, six is the number of man in the flesh. And living water turns you into a complete person. This complete person with the number seven. Flesh that is not complete. She needs to become the number seven, complete in Christ. The well would satisfy her flesh, but the flesh is never satisfied once for all from Jacob's well. You know, you can drink and drink and drink, and you'll be thirsty tomorrow, won't you? And you'll be thirsty this afternoon. You're always thirsty. But when the Lord Jesus Christ satisfies your thirst from his well, you'll never thirst again. You know, this woman of Samaria is a particular woman. She came to the well at noon because she knew by habit that the well would be deserted. Any decent woman of the community would have been there in the morning. But this woman was not considered a decent woman. This was a woman not of the decent crowd, for her reputation was ill, and she knew it. You know, that's a wonderful revelation, to know that your reputation is ill with God. That's the first thing you need to know, is that you're a sinner, you're lost, you're undone, and you have an ill reputation with God, of ill repute with God. And because of that, you're near to the kingdom of God when you realize that you're a sinner. And that's one of the things that people have to know in order to be thirsty. When you know that you have a fatal illness and that there is nothing in you to cure your sick soul, what a realization that is. Most of the world operates apart from that, thinking that they're something that they're not, walking in their own self-esteem, walking in their own self-love. But the first thing you need to know is that you're not right with God, for all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and that you come short of the glory of God. But this woman knew her condition. She came to the well at noon. She didn't want to meet the decent ladies of the community, so she comes apart from that time. But this was the time for her to meet God, for Jesus Christ was at the well to meet her. Not a chance meeting, but a planned meeting on the part of God. You know, Jesus was sitting there alone. There were no other distractions. The disciples went to town to get food and nothing to take away the seed of the Word of God. And she came to the well expecting to meet no one, but she met the Lord Jesus Christ there at the well. You know, she was a woman who had five husbands. Now, how many of those husbands had she robbed from other women? We don't know. It's not given. And Jesus was there. Here he was, a Jew, asking a favor of a Samaritan woman. So that's the situation we find here, an unheard of situation. But Jesus Christ came specifically to meet this deep need of this woman. And he was there to invite himself into her heart. So he says to her, a woman of ill repute, a woman of five husbands, give me to drink. He received refreshment from this woman far greater than Jacob's water when the woman received him as her Savior. Perhaps he was saying there, give me to drink, a drink of your salvation. Because remember, he tells his disciples that I have meat to eat, ye know not of. This whole experience was a drink by Jesus Christ because of this woman. His question was pointed at this particular woman to get a certain response so that Jesus Christ could engage her in the most important conversation of her life. You know, you think about it. If you had witnesses to you before you were saved, and they came to you and talked to you about Jesus, and you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, wasn't that the most important conversation of your life? To be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ? And this certainly was the most important conversation of her life. A woman who had five husbands. You know, it doesn't say what happened to her husbands. I hope they didn't all die. Remember that story where the woman had seven husbands and they all died? I wouldn't want to be that seventh husband that said yes or asked her. But she lost all five husbands. It doesn't infer, it doesn't tell us how she lost those, but it does infer that she gave up on marriage because now she is living with someone in an illicit arrangement. You know, it's an amazing thing today. I was raised in a time when marriage was normal. Today, marriage is not normal. Today, it seems like living together is normal. But you know, living together in an unmarried state is immoral. It's not pleasing to God. It's not what God expects. Marriage is a spiritual union and is not to be ridiculed in such a fashion. This is the society of today. Let's live together. Let's try it out. Let's live together. And they don't use the term immoral way. It's just a natural way to do it today. So we can infer from this passage that this Samaritan woman is a woman of loose morals. She moves in her own special circles, and these circles are not in the acceptable circles of her town. She's independent. She's an independent woman. She's not a humble woman. She's not afraid to talk to a stranger. She's not afraid to even talk to a Jew. She comes across as a bold and a brassy woman, through vast experience, knows how to make her own way. That seems to be the norm of today, isn't it? For women to be independent, to women to be bold and brassy, to make her own way. And no doubt she is not thought of as a lady. She then asks in verse 9, and I think she probably asked this indignantly. You can kind of get the flavor of this as an indignant question. How is it, she says, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She's amazed. And John inserts commentary here, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I mean, there's a separation here between these two peoples. In other words, Jews and Samaritans do not use vessels in common. You think about those drinking vessels at the wells. Those were used in common. But you would never use one that was used by another group that you didn't approve of. So she asks how. How is it that? How? You know, Nicodemus, in his first word in reply to the Lord, asks how. We're all full of hows. How can this be? How can this be true? Truth and grace of God, Jesus Christ, is sitting before her, and she asks how. Oh, the things of the heart are closed against the things of God. It is open to the things of Satan, the world, and the man of the world. It gives ready acceptance to these things, but to the truth and grace of God, it asks how. All that this woman could think of was the old racial prejudice of the Jews and the Samaritans the hatred for each other, thou a Jew and me a woman of Samaria. Instead of focusing on the grace of this man, she focuses on the how. Now, it was obvious that this Jew had no vessel or cup to drink from. She knew that the strict Jew would share no vessel with a Samaritan and a woman at that. You know, we still have that kind of a separation in those areas in the Middle East where you have such a difference between women and men. And that was done. That was the same thing back in those days. Asking a favor of this type was astonishing, and really it displayed unexpected goodwill by Jesus Christ. Very unusual thing to do. Very unusual for someone of a Jew to be gracious to a woman of this sort who was probably used to scorn but not used to grace. How important it is to be gracious to all people regardless of their situation. You know, the Lord gives us examples for a reason, doesn't He? We ought not to have these kind of prejudices and barriers that we set up, because if we're going to win lost souls to Christ, these barriers will certainly get in the way. But Jesus, in verse 10, answers this way: if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Can you imagine hearing that for the first time? Here was this stranger, here was this Jew sitting on the well, and he comes up with this kind of response. If you would knew the gift of God and who it is. Now, who it is that asked, he would have given thee living water. So, he does not give her a lecture on the evils of prejudice or a lecture on her changing her ways. You know, that's what we heard this last weekend from the Catholic vicar. Basically, the evils of this, the evils of this, the change of the ways of this. But Jesus Christ asks her who it is that speaks to her. He does not rebuke her for her sin, but instead creates in her a thirst for water that is not available from Jacob's well. He speaks of himself in this manner. He speaks of Christ. He speaks of Jesus Christ. You know, what a reminder that is when we witness. We're witnessing for Christ. We're introducing people to Jesus Christ. We're not talking about this sin that they commit and this sin that they commit and this sin that they commit. We're introducing them to Jesus Christ. So he creates in her a thirst for water that cannot come from Jacob's well. You know, water is prominent in the Scriptures. It was discussed at the wedding of Cana. Jesus told Nicodemus that a man must be born of water and of the Holy Spirit in order to see the kingdom of God. And here again, he introduces what he calls living water. It is the kind of water that supplants the water that comes from Jacob's well. You know, you can learn so much spiritual things from natural things. God has made natural things to teach us about eternal things, to teach us about spiritual things. You look at the seeds that he gives that are planted throughout the world. And we, from those seeds, are blessed to feed the body. And we know that the seed of the Word of God feeds the soul. So many things of the natural order of things that God gives us. And here he brings in the water from Jacob's well to satisfy a thirst of the day, but living water to satisfy the thirst of the soul. Better water is here. And Jesus offers that living water to the woman at the well. He offers the water that comes from the fountain of living waters to replace the water that had come from broken cisterns that could hold no water. I love that passage in Scripture. I forget where it is, but it talks about cisterns that men make and men prepare to hold water, but they're broken cisterns and they hold no water. But this is the water, the living water, that is forever and will always satisfy the thirst. So he is here then at the well with a new order of things, the order of grace and truth. He was at Jacob's well. What a wonderful well that was, a well that had satisfied the thirst for 1,000 years. A well, the best that man could give, to offer himself, the eternal well, the best that God can give, the well of living water, the gift of God. You know, every time we take a drink, we ought to think about the drink of Christ that satisfies our thirst. He says to her, "If thou knewest who." That is the need of the sinner. Not how. Oh, that's how the scientists work. That's how the intellects work. Always trying to find out how. How did the universe come to be? How did we evolve to what we are? How did this work? How did this work? But the question, as always, should be who. So he asks who. That's the need of the sinner, not how, but who. Not religion. How is religion? But who is Christ? The need of the sinner, then, is to know Jesus and to know that he is the one that is offering the gift of living water. In your witness, remember this. Not how, but who. And we always point to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the well. So if she knew who, then she would have asked for the living water. That is the role, then, of the Christian witness, to make known who Jesus is. So when we witness to that lost soul, when we pray and ask the Lord, "Give me a soul that I could witness to," remember what the witness is. Not how, but who. To make known who Jesus is. Now, she knew that she was a sinner. She had no doubt about that. She came to the well at a particular time. She had had 5 husbands. She was living with another who was not her husband. She knew her situation. Jesus Christ did not have to deal with that as he had to deal with that with Nicodemus. So he offered to this woman the gift of God, living water. And that's what we're to offer, living water. You know, the natural result of knowing Jesus Christ is to receive the gift of living water from the true well. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." She had to look. Nicodemus had to look. We all have to look if we are to receive the living waters. In verses 11 and 12, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep." Look at how she sees again in her practical way. She sees only that which is earthy. She sees only that which is natural. She sees nothing spiritual, for her eyes are still dark. "But the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Art thou greater than our Jacob who gave us this well? You have water that's better than Jacob's water? That's the question of the world, isn't it? You have water that is better than the water we get from our systems. So now she calls him sir, but she's still confused. She continues to talk about the water in the well. She thinks that the living water that Jesus speaks about is the fresh spring water of the well. And she also says the well is deep. How can you get the water? You have nothing to draw from. She doesn't understand who Christ is, who is the water. She says that he has no bucket, no means to get water from this well. He's powerless unless she helps him, she thinks. But in reality, it is she that is powerless unless he helps her. How opposite we think. You know, we think we are the ones to help, and we're the ones that need the help. You know, God doesn't need our help. Jesus did not need her help. He wasn't there to receive help from her. He was there to give help to her. You know, when we serve God, it is not to satisfy his needs, for God has no needs. Serving God is to satisfy our needs. You know, you think about that when you deal with your children. Raising children to be servants of God is not so that our lives would be eased, but it's to satisfy their needs to be a servant. We serve him for our welfare. For when we serve him, we are benefited, and others too are benefited. So this woman here at the well thinks that if Jesus cannot get water from Jacob's well, then he must be powerless to change Jacob's water into living water. But Jesus does not use Jacob's water to create living water, for living water is only made by Jesus Christ, who died that salvation could be ours. For God does not use anything from man's hands to provide salvation. You know, that's such a lesson for us as Christians, to realize and to preach that salvation is from God alone. It's not by Jacob, it's not by Jacob's well, but by grace and grace alone. Totally God-produced, without the benefit or assistance of any man or man's water. This is part of the lesson of this. She's trying to enter into this process of living water. And that's what men and women and boys and girls do in this life, is to try to enter in. What part can I have in this salvation? And she cannot imagine that this stranger could be better than her father Jacob. For one to produce better water than what had sustained her from this well would indeed have to be better than Jacob, the digger of this well. Now that's the truth, isn't it? And Jesus Christ was better. The woman was content with the water of this well. She had never looked for better water. She always came to this well for water. The water had sustained her for many years through five husbands. Don't bother me, she's saying, with something better. You know, it's amazing how often we settle for the inferior when we can have better. But here was someone better, who had better water to give her. You know, as a Christian, we have the power of God behind us, do we not? We don't have to settle for the inferior. As a Christian, we settle for the better. We settle for the living water, which is Jesus Christ. And that's the who that we are to proclaim as we witness to our loved ones, as we witness to our neighbors, as we witness to those we work with. But pray about that. Pray that the Lord would give you an opportunity to proclaim the living water, Jesus Christ, to your neighbor, because everyone down deep has a thirst for that water that'll never, never, never be satisfied by those 13 cups a day or 9 cups a day, but it'll only be satisfied by Jesus Christ himself, who is the well, who is the living water. Father, we thank you so much for thy goodness and your mercy to us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to that well specifically to find this woman coming to satisfy her thirst And yet, Father, you satisfied her thirst that she would never, never thirst again. And as we go on in this lesson, Father, we'll see how excited she was to tell others about the thirst that she that was satisfied by the living water at the well. We pray, Lord, that you bless our service today, bless our pastors as they speak and preach to us. Help us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive that which is given. In Jesus' name, amen.